Coming right back, and we'll talk to Stephen Moses, president of the Center for Long-Term Care Reform, right after this. Well, our daily poll, this time we ask you in our WWO Pretty Opinion Poll, would you put your parents in a nursing home or hospice care? And 73% of you say hospice care. And I would have done the same, I think, until I ran into a couple of articles talking about hospice care that I thought was a different animal. To me, hospice care was something churches were involved in, nonprofit organizations, local charities. And if you had 6 months to live or less, you had people come to your house. And I heard a lot of applause and a lot of praise for what's been going on over the years. Then I pick up articles like this that says U.S. hospice industry has quadrupled in size since 2000. This says, I think, $17 billion industry. It's now dominated by national chains. And this caught my attention. Since 2006, the U.S. government has accused nearly every major for-profit hospice company of billing fraud. So to better understand this, we have Stephen Moses has joined us, president of the Center for Long-Term Care Reform, Incorporated. Stephen, I appreciate the time. Welcome.
Pleasure to be with you.
Well, am I reading the wrong thing, or have half of these hospice organizations been charged with billing fraud?
Well, I can't claim to be an expert specifically on hospice. My field is long-term care in general.
Right.
But I was not surprised by the article that your producer sent to me that you've referred to just now on the air. When government becomes involved in financing anything, it has a radical impact on the market. That's certainly been true in the area of long-term care in general by funding nursing home care very generously from the mid-1960s. Government funding, mostly through Medicaid, created an institutional bias, created the problem of too many people going to nursing homes and not enough people getting care they prefer in the home and community. Well, it seems something similar is beginning to happen with Medicare financing of a hospice. Now, I personally have had an excellent experience with hospice. My wife of nearly 45 years passed away due to primary brain cancer in early 2011. In 2010, in the last months of her life, we received wonderful assistance through the Medicare hospice program, a nurse visiting to help with counseling, injections, anything you might imagine, and also an aide who would come and help me bathe my wife and even did her nails and hair. It was wonderful help at a very difficult and stressful time. On the other hand, it's alarming to see the kind of information that you've just imparted. And what tends to happen is that as government tries to do something good for the people and begins funding it, the private industry naturally mobilizes to take full advantage of a new revenue source. Over time, it tends to be that the government begins to cut back a little bit because the costs naturally explode, and usually government doesn't plan ahead for that inevitable explosion in costs. So they begin restricting access to the benefits. But private industry is already 110% invested, so they begin to find ways to enhance the reimbursement, and there are basically two ways that that can happen. They can cut back on the services, hence we have a problem of quality of care, not just in hospice, but in long-term care in general, they can get out of the business, and we see that as a problem in the broader long-term care marketplace, too. Right now, hospice is evidently very lucrative to private companies, for-profit and nonprofit. How that's going to play out in the future with the aging of the baby boom generation. We face a huge demographic challenge as this gigantic generation ages into the period of time when they need long-term care and ultimately end-of-life care. So it's a mess that you've identified, and maybe if I were asked to speak to solutions, I would share some of the observations we've made in the broader area.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Got to take a break. But when we come back, we call this little show a think tank because, believe it or not, even though it's located in the South, we neither do liberal nor conservative. We really tried. I tell people what I think, and then we set about disproving it or proving it. And in something like this and in several other subjects that we touch on on a regular basis, I'll say to people, who do you trust these days? And if you don't trust anybody, what's the end game of that? Well, when we come back, since you look at long-term care, I'll ask you that question. What do you see happening now? Who can we trust? And what does the future portend? Coming right back, WWL, Big 870, AM 105.3 FM. I'm looking at a report from the Journal of the American Medical Association. It says U.S. spends more on health care than any other country. That went down a little bit over Obamacare, but it's still very high. And I would submit that one of the pieces of health care that most of us have a lot of respect for, I've heard a lot of good things about, is hospice care. And it, to, at least for me, it always brings up the image of charities, church organizations, taking care of people in their last 6 months or so of life. And I'm reading an article in Huffington Post here that actually was a series. And basically what this they say, it's no longer that way. The industry has quadrupled since 2000. It's a $17 billion stock-traded hedge fund invested industry. And in the meantime, for the last 8 years, every major hospice company has been charged with billing fraud. And those in the South that constantly talk about small government, don't trust big government, don't want to be involved in big government. Since Medicare put in government funding for hospice care, 90% of all hospice care claims we, the taxpayers, are paying. So it seems like a really shifting industry from what a lot of us thought. And we have Stephen Moses with us. He's president of the Center for Long-Term Care Reform, not necessarily an expert in this. But, Stephen, if you'll bear with me before we took a break, the basic question I think in so many issues today is, who do you trust? And for the people out there that need long-term care or know they're going to in the not-too-distant future, what's out there to trust?
Well, that's an excellent question. I agree that it is the key question. And one of the reasons that we now, as consumers, especially of healthcare and long-term care, don't know who to trust, is that the government's been trying to help us in this area since 1965, at the very least, through Medicare and Medicaid, Medicaid primarily for long-term care, and Medicare for acute care for the elderly. Of course, Medicaid also covers acute care for younger people, poor women and children. And the unintended consequence of this enormous government investment in financing long-term care for most Americans is that most Americans no longer feel that they have to take personal responsibility, especially in the area of long-term care. So we've somewhat obviated the sense of concern and worry that people have about how they will pay for their care in the future by funding the portion of health care that is not already financed by government through employers with significant tax advantages to getting health care insurance through the employer, we've also distorted the system. We've created a marketplace for health care and long-term care where the public no longer looks at what the actual cost of the care is, and when they have to come out of pocket, as doesn't happen as much now as it has in the distant past, they're shocked that the services should cost so much. They cost so much because of the distortion in the market caused by government involvement in the system. And unless and until we return to a marketplace where citizens and consumers are aware of what the services they're receiving cost, and take a role in preventing health care problems, have a stake in being healthier, we're going to continue to have problems like we've had in the past. And unfortunately, the Affordable Care Act doesn't address any of the underlying problems, but rather doubles down on the problems that we have, that is, easy access to publicly financed, government-subsidized health care. So we put the public to a sleep, and the answer to the question, who can you trust, is only yourself. Ronald Reagan liked to say, trust but verify. I'd go a step further and say, don't trust anyone. Make your own judgments after researching the market carefully, and beware of depending on promises from politicians.
I would go one step further. I think a lot of Americans don't want to verify. I'll give you a good example. Mississippi, one of the small government enclaves, get 43% of all their revenues. Louisiana's right behind them. We'd say we don't like big government. If you quote the figures to them or show the large part of it is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, whatever, they really don't want to hear it. If I'm seeing the right thing, what's the end game of all this? Do you see any ability to go back to where a system works?
Well, I despair of any likelihood that responsible political action will lead us to a solvent financial system or healthcare system. But at some point, you can no longer defy economic gravity. The Fed can't go on printing money indefinitely without interest rates increasing. The government can't go on deficit spending indefinitely, and once the interest rates go up, it's going to wipe out any semblance of solvency on the part of the federal government, which is a major funder of state initiatives in healthcare. And when that happens, we hit a brick wall of fiscal reality. A lot of people, especially poor and lower middle class people, are going to be hurt. People are going to have to come out of pocket to purchase services that have previously been dominantly paid for through government programs. And when that happens, a freer market that will ensue by default will compel a better system of...
Sounds like the bubble's got to pop. Stephen, a true pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate your taking the time. Have a great day.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Thank you.